Hello, good morning. It's Tuesday, May 26th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Well, it's gone from a deal is largely negotiated to a deal is still possible. Overnight, the United States bombed Iranian missile sites in southern Iran, along with boats which were in the process of laying mines in the Strait of Hormuz. Washington says it was self-defense. It's a nail-biting time for people here in Israel, but even more so for those in Iran, many of whom fear a deal with the regime will only embolden it and keep it in power indefinitely. Today, I speak to Iranian dissident Ravin Khorshid Alam. You'll hear our conversation in a moment. First, though, the headlines. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the Strait of Hormuz will be opened one way or another. As he spoke, Iranian negotiators arrived in Doha, with Qatar now seemingly replacing Pakistan as the main mediator. Talks are reportedly stalled over Tehran's nuclear program and America's willingness to release frozen Iranian funds. Still, negotiators may settle on a 60-day framework agreement which would extend the ceasefire and reopen the Strait of Hormuz. Saudi Arabia is sticking to its position on Israel and the Palestinians. President Trump wants Riyadh, Qatar and other Arab states to join the Abraham Accords immediately as part of a broader deal with Iran. But an unnamed Saudi official told Al Arabiya that normalization with Israel would only happen once there was what he called an irreversible process towards the creation of a Palestinian state. The head of the Shin Bet, David Zinni, has reportedly held talks in Abu Dhabi with the exiled Palestinian leader Mohammed Dahalan. Dahalan served as Gaza's security chief before the bloody Hamas takeover in 2007. He's also a sworn enemy of the Palestinian Authority president Mahmoud Abbas, who forced him into exile in the UAE more than a decade ago. The meeting was first reported by Israel's Kan broadcaster, and it's fueling speculation about the UAE's growing role in post-war Gaza. Deadly Hezbollah drones could soon hit Tel Aviv and Jerusalem if the government doesn't act. Former Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman says Israel's military strategy in the north remains unclear. The IDF says it struck dozens of Hezbollah targets in southern Lebanon over the past 24 hours after Prime Minister Netanyahu ordered the military to deliver what he called a crushing blow. Another Hezbollah drone landed near a military base in northern Israel this morning, and another near the border. No injuries were reported. Meanwhile, a Saudi report claims the IDF has twice attempted to assassinate the Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem in recent weeks. Israeli defense giant Elbit Systems says it signed a $1.4 billion deal with an unnamed European country. Over the next 5 years, that country will receive advanced battlefield modernization systems like drones, electronic warfare platforms, and precision-guided munitions. European militaries are racing to upgrade their capabilities amid growing security threats across the continent. And finally, in a rare Arabic language holiday message, Israel's Foreign Minister Gideon Saar has extended Eid al-Adha greetings to Muslims and Druze in Israel and around the world, wishing them stability, peace and respect. Well, before we get to today's conversation, a reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Ravin Khorshid Alam. What will it mean for people in Iran if Trump goes ahead and signs this deal?
It will be back to square one, and the people will not be able to liberate themselves because there's still the issue of not being armed. They flew in Hashad al-Shaabi, they flew in Afghan and Pakistani proxies, and those proxies are at the moment in the street, also harassing women. There's a lot of rape going on. Unfortunately, we do not have extensive reports on what's happening. But also the military proxies that they brought in are fighting the IRGC inside Iran. That's what we're hearing, because there's a lot of infighting going on because the Hashad al-Shaabi soldiers, proxies, they get paid more than the IRGC. So there's a lot of infighting going on. The one report that I did have is that women were saying at checkpoints, they're targeting women, Hashad al-Shaabi, to basically get them out of their cars and grope them. And one other thing that's happening is they're confiscating driver's license and IDs. And in order to get them back, you have to also partake in regime protests. So they're forcing regular people to go into the streets and protest for the regime.
And they're still going after people who took part in protests back in January.
Oh, yes. Other reports that we did manage to get is people who are still wounded since January 8 or 9 who have been shot, who didn't have medical treatment, who are getting infections and at home dealing with the aftermath of getting shot.
Now, when we look at what's on the table, it looks as though the objective of regime change has been dropped. It's more about opening the Strait of Hormuz and ending Iran's nuclear program. But what does that mean if you're inside Iran?
Well, it's hard to say because of the internet shutdown, but I'm sure that people are in despair. Food prices are high. The dollar compared to the real is really high. So people are having trouble buying food. People are having trouble going on to their daily lives. So the only hope that they had was a regime change through weakening the regime with war. And now that the war has stopped, the regime is basically trying to reinforce their military proxies on the street. And also a different report that came out said that 70% of the missiles are still intact.
Do you think that President Trump should maintain his blockade on Iran?
Anything that weakens the regime is a good thing. So I do think that he should do it. But there's a lot of international pressure because of the oil price, because people have a short-term view. They don't realize that if they go through this difficult road, at the end of the tunnel, the oil prices are going to stabilize and it's going to be in everyone's interest. Unfortunately, people only think short term, not long term. And they also don't care about the suffering of the Iranian people.
President Pezeshkian has announced that he's lifting the internet shutdown. Do you believe him?
A friend of mine who had bought VPN, which is regime VPN, and he was trying to upload a video onto the internet. And the intelligence services contacted him and said that you're uploading a big file. What are you doing? So once people are connected to the internet, it will be heavily regulated. But also, I don't believe it because they say 42,000 people were killed. If the images of shooting people into the streets are flooded on the internet, that's going to be very bad for the regime. So I don't believe he will. If they do open it up, they'll have some form of filtered internet that will still jeopardize the propaganda that they've tried to flood the internet with. So I don't think he will. They love to project hope because one of the things that they do is once the dollar price goes up, they try to bring it back down and to give people back hope. So imagine if the dollar price quadruples overnight, then all your groceries are going to be more expensive. So if you're able to make the real strong against the dollar by flooding it with money, then people will have hope again that they can buy groceries. But this time, I think it's different because a lot of people have lost someone. So I don't think economics are going to help them or lifting an internet ban.
What do you think is the prevailing emotion in Iran right now? Is it exhaustion? Is it anger? Is it determination to overthrow this regime? How do you think people are feeling?
I think it's becoming despair because it seems to them like, okay, we don't have enough money to buy groceries. We are not safe in the streets. Foreign proxies are basically harassing our women. A lot of people have lost someone or can't find their loved ones. So I think it's an anger and despair. Unfortunately, the executions that we hear of, no matter how horrific this sounds, are a distraction from the killing that's happening inside the prisons. Because they don't report on the people who are killed under torture, under gang rape. So they say we executed two people today, but in reality, in each prison, people are killed every day.
Whatever happens with the US, whether there's a return to war or whether there is an agreement, there seems to be a growing sense that the only thing that will bring down this regime is the Iranian people. Do you still think that's possible?
If the war hadn't gone into a ceasefire, it would have been possible and we would have been close to that. But once you have an enemy that you weaken and you let them get strong again, you let them reorganize, that it's going to be the same story over and over again. So at the moment, no, the war has to come back on for the people to be able to go back into the streets. And King Reza Pahlavi II, who is the most important opposition leader, the only opposition leader, he will give the call for action when the time is right, when we believe that there is a chance for them to survive. So at the moment, no, definitely not. The war has to come back. I believe in my heart of hearts that America and its leaders know that they have to stop the IRGC. because Triple H, the Houthis, Hamas, and Hezbollah will get funding if the regime stays. And the problem that Israel has been trying to eliminate can only be long-term if the IRGC is gone.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching, and do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.